All right. Well, now I want to welcome you to Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas to you. I want to welcome you to our four-week series that we're calling A Real Christmas, where we're going to watch clips from real movies, and we're going to tie in the biblical. Believe it or not, we're going to use what we just watched to tie in Jesus being born. Let's see if we can get there, everybody, all right? So let's get to it. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. Go ahead and get those out. Get your notes out and open them up to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Here's what we're doing. This is what I think. See, most everybody is going to watch a Christmas movie or two. And what I think would be really good is if we could use what we're doing to really be able to bring Jesus in, so that when we do watch these movies over the Christmas season, I don't know, maybe it just might help us see him in a new way, or maybe see him in a different way. See him in a, here it is, everybody, in a Jesus way. All right, we'll just see. It's a great experiment this season, and we'll see if it works. And today's movie is obviously The Grinch. All right, show of hands, how many love the movie The Grinch? Depends on which version, doesn't it? So we got three Grinch movies. So just show of hands on, we'll see how old everybody is, all right? So show of hands, whose favorite is the original 1966 version? Okay, a lot of us. All right, how about the Jim Carrey one? That one is, I can't do it. It's so spooky. And then how about the latest one, the one that we just watched? That's my favorite. I love that Grinch. It's so good. All right, so let's get in touch a little bit more with this movie. So I have some trivia for us to get in touch with the Grinch. You guys can bet lunch on it or something. Here's the first question that we have. So where does the Grinch live? A, Whoville. B, Crooked Mountain. C, Mount Crumpet. D, Way Out Wayne. He might live Way Out Wayne. I don't know, man. I don't know. Some of you are like, I know who that is, okay? Here's the answer. He lives at Mount Crumpet. Mount Crumpet, that's the answer. Here's the next one. What is the name of the Grinch's dog? Spike, Buck, Rex, Max. We all know this one, right? All right, it's Max. That was a good one. Max is a good. All right, from the 2000 movie, this is the Jim Carrey movie. Who was the Grinch in love with, right? Martha May Huvier, Clarinel Hu, Betty Lou Who, or himself? Anybody want to keep guessing? All right, here's the answer. Martha May Huvier. Is it Huvier or Huvier? Huvier? Yeah. I don't watch that one. I told you. I don't like that one. All right. Here's the next one. According to the book, what does the Grinch hate the most about Christmas? When the Whos open their presents, when the Whos laugh, when the Whos sing, when the Whos dance. What do you guys think? Some of you might want to put money on this one. I don't know. It's when they sing. And here's the last one. What does a Grinch take the last can of? Who hash, who pudding, roast beast, or who knows? Anybody know what is? Yell it loud and proud if you know it for sure. What is it? It's who hash. All right, way to go. The Grinch is a Christmas staple. It is, whether you like the original movie or the latest one that comes out. And I love the scene that we just saw where the Grinch gets so annoyed at all the Christmas stuff going on when he has to come into town. But here's what I want you to notice. When you watch it, here's what you'll notice. You'll notice that he doesn't get angry because of the noise. Like, he gets actually more upset at the joy that's behind the noise, that he's annoyed at the warmth, he's annoyed at their togetherness. It's almost like he's allergic to the wonder that the Whos have with Christmas. And right now, believe it or not, that's where some of you are. Right now in this moment, like, you're feeling the same way. Because maybe some of you out there are feeling like, why are we talking about Christmas already? We don't even have Thanksgiving, Andy. Some of you are out there, you Grinch, right? You're like, we haven't even eaten turkey, right? It's too early. Hey, and why, here's a big one. Why are we talking about Christmas movies in church? How dare you? It's part of the problem. It's not about the movies. It's about Jesus. And things are already so commercialized, and people go overboard and they buy too many presents, and they're more excited over yard inflatables than they are about Jesus being born. And here it is, everybody. Here it is. Some of us have a Grinch mentality with how others of us celebrate this season and celebrate Jesus being born. And here's what I want to tell you. If you're already there, you got a whole month of this, you need to settle in, man. Like, you need to pace yourself on the Grinch thing, okay, if you're already there. But on the other end, here's what I do want to say. I get it. Like, I know this season can get a little out of control. I know that some of us can go a little overboard. And if we let it, like, we can let it take us to a place that I don't think God wants us to be either, because it should be all about Jesus, right? Should be all about it. And so it's so important to have the right view, okay? But today's message is specifically for the Grinches, okay? So for the Grinches out there, here's what today's message is. I know what you need. And you need what actually all of us need, and it's what I believe God wants us to have, and it is the cure for the Grinch that is inside all of us. Here it is, if you want to write this down, that God wants us to embrace the wonder of Christmas. He wants us to embrace the wonder of Christmas. It's what God wants us to have. And it's why I believe that Christmas, other than any other holiday, has this strange attraction to it with all kinds of people, everybody, even people who are outside of Christianity, people who would definitely not say that they're even Christians. In fact, a survey that I found says that of the 90%+ of Americans who celebrate Christmas, okay, 90%+ of us, 1 out of 3 say that it is their favorite holiday, which makes it number one by a long shot, all right? Number one by a long shot. Number two, anybody want to take a shot at what number two is? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's number two. And the holiday on October, of which I don't speak of, is number three, okay? If you were here a few months ago, you know what I'm talking about. So you ever wonder, though? You ever wonder why do so many people celebrate Christmas, even people who don't call themselves Christians? Why do they celebrate? In an article that I read, the article that had the data in it, a lot of people surveyed actually said that it's a part of the culture, and that's probably a huge reason. It's part of our American culture. But they also say that a big reason is this, listen to this, is that it helps bring something special in during the season of the year. And I think that's what everyone wants a piece of. I think everybody wants a piece of that because everybody, listen, it is special. It is captivating because, gang, Christmas is the best time of the year. It really is. Amen out there? It really is, especially if you are a Christian, because God came down. Hope came down. Peace on earth came down. It's a joyful time. It's a happy time of the year. And the statistical data actually backs this up. Christmas, believe it or not, whether you know this or not, is actually one of the least miserable times of the year. I just thought you should know that out there, all right? It's one of the most happy days of the year. And I think this idea, though, of wonder and peace and stability, gang, I think that's why so many people celebrate Christmas. And it's why I think God made this bigger than we even think, and it's right there in the Christmas story from the very first thing that the angel said to a group of shepherds on the first day that Jesus entered the world. It's full of wonder, full of peace, full of stability. So we're gonna be there, Luke 2, and we're gonna pick this up in verse 8, and it says this, it says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So we have the glory of the Lord around them. There's good news, great joy, peace coming down on the earth. You know, I think that we can look at Christmas in a lot of different angles, but like one of the most common is like you look at Christmas and you see the birth of Jesus, right? And I mean, that is exactly what it is. Like that's when Jesus was born as a baby, but it's not entirely what was going on, everybody. Did you know that Jesus never told us to remember his birth? Never. But he did tell us to remember his death and resurrection. But yet, we go all out for Christmas, don't we? Like he even said, don't worry about me being, but we go all out. And I think it's because we're recognizing that God did do something special. He did something to make us wonder, to put us on this bigger thing going on. And here's a bigger thing that we could tap into. And here it is. All of us, wherever you are with you and God, wherever you are on your journey with God and Jesus being the Savior of the world, here it is. Every single one of us here has the capacity, has the desire to wonder. And we're the only creatures that actually do this, by the way. Marsupials never wonder about the stars and the origins or anything like that. Like, dogs don't look up at the sky and be like, boy, this is a big universe. I wonder if we're, no, they just want to eat, sleep, and play Frisbee, everybody. You know what I mean? Like, but we need more. We need more. We need something more, that there's just something in us that is just not satisfied with the normal, everyday, 9-to-5, sleep, work kind of life. That we have this thing in us, that just needs to be something bigger going on than us, something beyond us. We feel like there's gotta be something outside of the norm. Why? Why? Here's why. It's because we were created in the image of God, and God put eternity on our hearts. Check this out. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, yet God has made everything beautiful for his own time. He has planted eternity in your heart. There is something right now, as you sit and as you watch, in you, there is something in you that is hardwired in all of us. We look for it. We need it. We were made to wonder, everybody. And when you look at the Christmas story, it is full of things that tap into the wonder. God gave us, he didn't have to do this, by the way. He could have done it anyway, but he gave us this incredible narrative that isn't just a baby being born. It's this crazy string of occurrences that happened both through the history of humans and humankind, and also in this small window of Jesus coming that is so strange. And it cannot be explained logically. None of this that we're about to talk about can be explained logically. And it's why, actually, I think so many of us are missing it, because right now there's something going on in Christianity, and it's happening a lot. And it's what people are doing is called deconstructing their faith. A lot of people are doing this. It's this idea of like trying to shed away like a lot of things and get back to the basics of God and Jesus. And by the way, sometimes that's not so bad. Like, I don't think it's a bad idea to ask good questions and try to untangle man-made religion from the real Jesus. But here's the thing. There's also a version of deconstructing that actually pushes us away from anything in faith that feels mysterious, that feels ancient, that feels supernatural or hard to explain. And the problem with that is that's where the wonder lives, everybody. That's where the wonder of God is. So here's what I want to do today. Today I want to look at a few of these things, all right? And here's my goal. My goal is not to inform you about these. We know the story. We know the Christmas story, but what I want to do is I want to allow these to inspire the wonder that God wants us to have by looking directly at these occurrences and seeing it for what it really is, okay? Because here's what I want to say. Bottom line here, I don't think we should shy away from the unexplainable. I think we should lean into it, everybody. Lean into it with reckless abandon into the unexplainable and embrace it. And I think the wonder of God could come in. So if you want to write these down, here's the first one that happens in a Christmas story. It's ancient prophecy. Ancient prophecy. So here's what prophecy is, if you don't know. Prophecy is a foretelling of things God is going to do, but he hasn't done it yet. That's what prophecy is. So we have God in the history of man telling us in crazy detail what he's going to do, right? And he uses prophets and he uses people to write these details down. And here's the thing. It's not just one person writing down one thing during one period of time. It's all these prophecies, hundreds and even thousands of years of our existence. And I want to just show you one. This is Isaiah. This is one of the most famous ones. Isaiah 7, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgins shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. So Emmanuel means God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And so this is a reference right here that means that God will come down. He will be with us. And here it is, as simple as I can make it. Jesus being born confirms Emmanuel, God with us. And I know that sounds really simple as a prophecy, okay? But this was a prophecy in 700 BC. 700 years, people had this story. And then it happened exactly like Isaiah said it would happen. Listen, everybody, the chances of a virgin birth being born the way that he was, even to reference that he will know poverty. That's what Isaiah, so when Isaiah said eating curds and honey, that's a reference to him being born poor. It's crazy when you see the Bible for what it really is. See, the Bible isn't like one book over one period of time. The Bible is 66 books of a lot of authors that were inspired by God telling one story through hundreds and thousands of years. And listen, it never veers off. Not one time does it veer off. All through history of time, pointing to the same bigger thing happening. Listen, it is the Bible is the most scrutinized book in the world. It is unlike any other documentation in the entire world. Everybody, you know why? Because it's not of this world. Amen, everybody? The Bible is not of this world. It is a part of the strange and wonderful thing that God did for us. And God gave us with his word to point us to this bigger thing, this amazing thing where prophecy gets fulfilled. It doesn't just get fulfilled. In crazy detail, it gets fulfilled. And what should happen is that when you realize this, or for some of us, when we just recall it and have a reminder of what God did, that listen, everybody, God planned Christmas before he created the world. Day zero, he planned this. And the wonder of Jesus in us should grow as a result of it. You know, maybe you're here and maybe you're feeling a little detached from God's story. You know, maybe you don't feel like you're ready to bring in the Christmas series because you're just wondering if God is even doing anything in your story right now with what's going on. But see, and how God did this with Jesus, here's what he's telling you. He's telling you that he's always working in your life. Amen, everybody? Always. He's never not working, even long before you ever knew and ever took a breath. He's been working. He knew you. He's working in your story. Here's the second one that's an interesting one, a virgin conception. Right? This is strange. I don't have to tell you why this is strange, right, everybody? I don't have to get into detail here, do I? Or do you want me to? Right? Like, I don't need to get into it. But a majority, this is what's wild. A majority of people who celebrate Christmas, and this includes people who say they don't regularly go to church, they can believe that. Like in the survey, in a Pew Research study from 2017, it shows that 70% of people believe that Jesus was born to a virgin. I mean, are you people nuts? Like, are you checking your brain at the door, man? Like, what is wrong with you believing in that kind of thing? Or is it just that there's this greater thing going on for us to believe in this extraordinary big thing? I mean, because listen, if God ever did come down here, wouldn't you expect it to be that kind of different, everybody? Like I would, right? See, Jesus being born to a virgin matters. It absolutely matters because here's what God was showing us through that. He was showing us that he and he alone can defy what is humanly possible. We cannot explain a virgin pregnancy, but that's the point. That's the entire point. God, here, listen to me on this one. God broke through human nature's rules to break the effects of sin. Both are supernatural, can't humanly be done. And so he's showing us, what I was able to do that can't be humanly done, I'm gonna do through Jesus what can't be humanly done. I will rescue you from sin and death. You catch what I'm saying, everybody? Like, so huge for us to understand. A virgin birth is strange, and it should cause us to have a wonder that captivates us about God and his story and how we fit in with Jesus being born. How about this one from the Christmas story? Astrological phenomenon. When's the last time you said that? Hey, you thought about astrological phenomenon? So listen, we all know about we three kings from Orientar, right? These guys are the magi, the rich kings that are following the star to get to Jesus. Check this out in Matthew 2. It says this, that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose and have come to worship him." And later on in verse 9, it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them. It moved until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. All right, so when Jesus was born, all right, a star went up in the sky that was so different and so bright, and it moved in a way where people couldn't ignore it. It wasn't a normal star. Like I read where people, and even theologians, they try to explain this like with natural things. They try to explain to maybe help us believe like it was this explainable pattern, like aurora borealis or something like that in the sky, something would naturally happen. But let's just be honest here. Let's be honest. Even if it was something naturally that occurred, and it was an actual star that appeared in the sky, and if you and I were to follow that star, say you started 500 miles away from me, all right, and we both follow that star, do you think we'd even get to close to each other? There's no way we would be even close to each other. And you're thinking, well, Mandy, well, if you get the star navigation app on your astrological on your phone, then we would be able to. No. Use what they had. They had a camel and a stick, everybody. That's all they had, all right? That's all they had. I mean, any way you look at this, it's strange. It's wild. It's not regular. It's not just some astrological deal that could be explained away. And I want to go back to the Grinch for a sec here. I think there's a tie-in we can all see when we watch this movie again. But like after the Grinch steals Christmas, after he steals all of it, right? And he goes back up to his mountain. What do the Whos do? What do they do? What do they end up doing, right? They all come out of their house, right? They form a big circle and they sing. And what song do they sing, everyone? What do they sing? Fa-hoo-do-ri-sa-da, right? Here's what it means. I'm not here because I sing good. Okay, here's what it means. It means welcome Christmas. Welcome Christmas. And here's what happened. The Grinch couldn't not hear it. Like he couldn't ignore it. It was like a beacon of joy that was calling him. Wonder always reels people in. Wonder always brings, and here's what I want to say. The God of wonder is still doing that today. And listen, this is why we sing the songs. This is why we decorate the house. This is why we make everything bright and shiny and anticipatory for the Christmas to come. It still draws us in. The glow of that comes with celebrating the real reason of Christmas. It should be a beacon that leads us right to the manger of Jesus, everybody. It's like, it's the same thing that the star did for the wise men. And it can do the same thing for us. It really can. Here's another one that's abnormal. Appearance of angels. Appearance of angels. I don't know about you, but like angels coming down and physically appearing and talking, a little weird. I would freak out a little bit, right? And five times in the Christmas story, they show up. It's strange. And I guess that's why the first thing you read every time an angel comes is they always say, fear not, right? Because it had to have been freaky, right? But they came, angels came to be heralds, to be special messengers of great news, good joy for all people. I think this is why I think God used angels. I think God used angels to break through the normality of life, right? I think he wanted to show us like, I'm breaking through the normal. I'm breaking through here. I'm interrupting the regular day-to-day to point to something bigger and grander. Here's what, man, God refused to let this be a normal thing, everybody. He refused to let this be a normal occurrence. I think leaning in to the wonder of Christmas, it always requires courage. Courage to believe it all. Courage to believe in everything, to not shy away from what we can't explain, but to lean into, to believe the whole story and to embrace it and to allow God to interrupt our normal lives. I think he wants to interrupt our normal lives this month. I'm just telling you. I just think that's where we're at. Here's one that isn't easy, but it's absolutely there in the Christmas story. Class equality. There's class equality in the Christmas story. So back then, rich and poor like never mixed. Like they never mixed. But other than Jesus, do you notice that two of the main leads in the Christmas story are shepherds who are very poor. They're poor. A lot of times they're like the bad guys who, that's why they're watching sheep because nobody trusts them to live anywhere else, right? They have to be out there. And the angel shows up to them and says, hey, find Jesus. And the shepherds go on this journey to find Jesus. And then you have the Magi. And listen, they're not just rich, they're elite. They're like elite status. And they go on the same journey to find Jesus. And I think it's really neat to think about this with the Grinch. Because at the end, and I think even throughout the whole movie, like the Whos never treated the Grinch differently. He might have treated them differently. They never treated him differently. They bring him in. They treat him like he's one of their own. And it's what happens on Christmas, everybody. Christmas puts us all on the same equation together. We're all on the same journey. We are all co-equals to receive this and have equal access to this gift. from shepherds to kings to innkeepers to you and to me, regardless of our status, regardless of what we look like, regardless of where we came from, we're all on the same level with God. He brings us all in. And here's the last one. Peculiar gifts. Peculiar gifts. What was the best present you ever got as a kid? What was the best present you ever got? Anybody know it right away? If it is, tell your neighbor if you know what it was, right? What was the best present you ever got? I remember getting a Swiss Army knife when I was way too young to get a Swiss Army knife. And I cut myself within 30 seconds of getting this Swiss Army knife. And I didn't see it for 4 years, okay? Like, I remember that. Awesome. It was from my buddy Bob. Buddy Bob. He was great. He always got us the wrong kind of stuff and we loved him for it, right? He was like, here's a bomb. You know, we're like, yeah. And I remember getting the first Game Boy. Anybody out there, first Game Boy with Tetris on it? Oh man, that was rad. That was radical, man. Like, and I remember like our parents played it more than we did. We were like, Dad, can I play it, please? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they loved playing Tetris. Tetris was so addicting when it first came out. But here's what Jesus gets. He gets gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know, that's weird, man. Like, that's weird. I mean, when was the last time you went to a baby shower and said, here's some myrrh, you're welcome, right? But they were all meant for something bigger than a baby being born. One king gave gold, which was recognizing Jesus as king, that he was saying, one day you will be king of kings and lord of lords. Amen, everybody? That's what gold meant. Another king gave frankincense. Frankincense was an incense that people used for temple worship, and it was used to connect people to God. It was like recognizing, God, you're worthy, you're worthy. And so it was given to Jesus as recognition that he was God who was worthy of being worshiped, worthy of their praise. And myrrh was actually an embalming fluid, okay? You gave it to people who are dead. Like, that's not just weird, that's certifiable to give to a baby, everybody, okay? Like, that's a little odd, right? Why give that to little baby Jesus? Because what this was telling us about Jesus was that the pinnacle of his life would be his death on the cross for your life. That's what that was saying. So everybody listen, it's this stuff and more. And more in the Christmas story that God wanted to give you. He didn't need to give us this strange story, but he wanted to give it to you and to encourage us, to move us all a little more towards embracing the wonder of what happened. Not shy away from what we can't explain, but lean into it, because it's not entirely explainable. God made all of this to happen for you to find the wonder of Christmas. And for some of you, I think it's exactly what's missing. I think it's exactly what you actually need. You know, the Grinch, when he finally comes down off of his mountain, like he comes down off his mountain to join the Whos, and what happens, he stands there with all the Whos that are full of joy. All their Christmas was taken, but he's like, why are they singing? He's so confused, but he was still so just mesmerized by it. He had to come, and he had to see, and here's what happened. He knew he was missing it. He knew he was missing. I think a lot of us know that feeling. But something changes when he stopped resisting and just started receiving, everybody. And I think that's what God wants for all of us. I think that's what he wants to do for us. He wants us to receive his love and receive his peace and receive his joy and receive his hope that came through Jesus being born. And honestly, it kind of makes sense that we decorate the way we do, everybody, doesn't it? Kind of makes sense that we make bright and shiny, and we shouldn't like be a Grinch about it. Honestly, I think we should be way more boisterous about it. Amen out there? Like, just to say, we are recognizing something wonderful, something joyous, something bigger than us that we can't explain. So we're gonna try our best to show how much we're anticipating the celebration and recognition of Jesus born. Because it brings in a sense of wonder, come on with me, that no other holiday can do. But in order for us to get there, you have to engage it. You have, every single one of you, as you hear me, you cannot passively allow the wonder of Jesus in and him being born. I think it's in our approach to all of this stuff and the intentionality with it that helps those of us who do embrace this wonder. That's how we get there. Some of you, here's what I want to tell you. You got to come down off your mountain. You got to come down off your mountain. That's the only way you're going to be. You're not going to be able to embrace it up on the mountain that you're on. You got to come down and embrace it. And when you do that, you'll know, like you'll get it. You'll be like, oh, there it is. That's the wonder that God wants me. It's not just any other holiday. And guess what? We get to treat it like unlike any other holiday. Amen, amen, everybody, right? And that's my prayer for every one of us, that the wonder of Jesus comes to us all. Let me pray for us. God, you did the unexplainable. You brought in majesty and wonder and amazing, unexplainable phenomenon and things that cannot just be shied away from. I pray for us right now this morning that we can come to a place where we just embrace all of this. We get to a place where we're like, no, this is the way it should be. If there is a God of the universe, why wouldn't he break through the way that we see it in the Christmas story? Like, I'm not gonna sit here and try to explain it. I'm just gonna embrace it. And I pray right now for some hearts in here that might have this Grinch mentality that you could break through to them, that they could see the mountain they're on and that they could come down and just stop looking from afar and being curious about it, Lord. But I know you could do a work in them right now, Jesus. I know you could do a work right now to allow them to embrace this more this season. I just pray for that. I think this is an amazing, great start to this series. God, I pray that you bless us as we work through these movies, but more importantly, we talk about Jesus. We talk about all these things that happen. We talk about the whole reason of why you want to come restore peace in our hearts. You wanted to come bring joy to us, that you had to do this and you chose to do this and you knew it from the very beginning of time. And I pray that we embrace it more and more every day as Christmas approaches. We love you, we need you, and we pray for all this in Jesus' name. And we all say together, come on everybody, amen, amen. Hey, I hope you embrace the wonder this season. And if not, come back next week, we'll watch another movie. And it won't be Grinch, okay? Because your Grinch is gone. All right, we'll see you next Sunday. And don't be a Grinch.